Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Senior Pastor, Reverend Dr. Ray Hilton. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Luke, Chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the New Testament section of our Red Bibles on page 55. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. This prayer is from the Book of Worship. O Almighty God, who by the birth of the Holy Child Jesus has given us a great light to dawn upon our darkness, grant, we pray thee, that in this light we may see light. Bestow upon us, we beseech thee, that most excellent Christmas gift of charity to all, that so the likeness of thy Son may be formed in us, and that we may have the ever-brightening hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Luke 2, verse 8. In the region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Glory, glory, glory." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd told them. But Mary, like a mother, treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thanks be to God indeed. Over the last four Sundays, and today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, over the last three Sundays of Advent at least, we've been trying to look at the story of Jesus' birth through the eyes of what we call these characters of Christmas. And so we started by looking at the birth of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. Last week, Pastor Henry helped us see what it might have looked like through the eyes of Joseph. Today, we want to look at the shepherds. And then tonight, we'll hear what it might have looked like through the eyes of the wise men who followed the star. And then next Sunday, we will gather here again at 10 a.m. And I know it's odd to think about it, but how could we see the story of Jesus' birth and Jesus' life through an evil person like King Herod? One thing I observed, though, as I've been reading and rereading these stories through Matthew and through Luke, is that there seems to be a pattern, there seems to be a sequence to the story where there is this initial announcement, there is some real surprise, even confusion, and even misunderstanding. That pattern of the announcement, the surprise, and the confusion that comes with that announcement. And so I want to begin by telling you more of a modern day story before we talk about the surprise that is found in our text this morning. It was a few days before Christmas, and there was this woman who was preparing her Christmas cookies, getting ready for Christmas, and as she was preparing things, she heard a knock on the door. She goes to the door, opens it up, and here is this man who is standing in front of her door. And she could look at the man and know that there were some real challenges going on in this man's life. And as if the man was reading the woman's mind, he said, "Ma'am, hold on a minute. I'm not here to beg you anything. I'm actually here looking for work. If you have anything I can do around your house to earn a few dollars, I'd be really grateful." The woman said to him, "Can you paint?" He said, "Yes, I can paint. I'm a really good painter." Well, she said, "There are 2 gallons of green paint. There are some brushes. I want you to take them and go to the back. We have a porch back there, and I want you to paint it. And when you're done, I'll pay you for what the job is worth." And of course, the guy said, "Wonderful. It's wonderful. I'll get it done as soon as possible." So the woman goes back inside, and she continues her work and forgets about the guy. And eventually, he comes back. There's the knock on the door. The woman goes to the door. She says to him, "Are you finished already?" He said, "Yes, I'm finished." "Did you do a good job?" He said, "Yes, I did a good job, but there are just a couple things I want to point out to you. First of all, you gave me too much paint. And the second thing I want you to know, ma'am, is when I went back there, I didn't see a Porsche. I saw a Mercedes." Think about that for a minute. The surprise. The confusion, the lack of understanding as to what's being communicated. And I think there's a little bit of that surprise in our text this morning. And the first surprise that I just want to point out to you very quickly before I take my seat is that the announcement, this very important announcement, came to shepherds, not to the palace officials, not to the high-ranking members of the religious establishment. The announcement came to shepherds. And you say, "Well, Pastor, why is that a surprise for you?" Maybe I'm just late to the party. But in my reading and my studying, I discovered that shepherds were considered on the lowest rung of the society in that time. That the only class of people lower than shepherds were lepers. And you've heard people say, "That man, that woman, that she cusses. He cusses like a sailor." And there's a saying back then that man, that woman, lies like a shepherd. Their character was not highly regarded. They were known for stretching the truth, and so they were never qualified to give testimony in a court of law. We didn't read the first few verses in chapter 2, but you'll notice that the verse opens with this statement about Emperor Augustus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus. We're talking about one of the most powerful people on the earth, the Emperor of Rome. And mention then is made that a registration was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so the big surprise for me as a reader of this story is that the angel didn't bring the message of Jesus' birth to the nobility, to the high-ranking, to the powerful, and to the important people. They went to lowly shepherds. Now, what does that tell us? What does it tell us about God? I don't know what you would say to that question, but here's what I thought to myself. What this tells us about God is that the God we worship is a big God. That this big God is willing to call, and I struggled with a word here, whether we want to say little people whether we want to say ordinary people, whether we want to say anonymous people, people with a past, that we worship a big God who is not afraid of calling and caring for little people. And I know the world in which you and I live in, that's not how the world is wired. I just finished reading a delightful book about Andre Agassi. The book is called Open. It's an autobiography of his life. And he writes about when he became champion, when he won Wimbledon, and he said, I became famous. And I want to read a few lines for you as to how he describes his fame. He says, fame is a force. It's unstoppable. You shut your windows to fame, and it slides under the door. I turn around one day, and I discover that I have dozens of famous friends. I don't know how I met half of them. I'm invited to parties and VIP rooms and events and galas where the famous gather, and many ask for my phone number, or many press their phone numbers on me, in the same way that my win at Wimbledon automatically made me a lifetime member of the All England Club. It also admitted me, he said, to this nebulous famous people's club. And then he said, my circle of acquaintances now includes, and the book was written back in 2009, he's referring back to people that he knew back in the 90s. So some of these names may not be as familiar to you, but he said, my circle of acquaintances now includes Kenny G, Kevin Costner, Barbara Streisand. I'm invited to spend the night at the White House with the president, to eat dinner with the president. And this is before the president's summit with Mikhail Gorbachev. I sleep, he says, in the Lincoln bedroom. And I thought to myself, that's how the world is wired. The famous, they have their club. When you want something to be known, when you want to connect with the right people, you move in those circles. But in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. The Lord looks not for the famous, but for those who are unknown. The red carpet treatment in the kingdom of God is not just for the famous. It's for people who are poor, blind, the weak, the disabled, the people that we want to dismiss. Notice what the angel said to them. Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. And I love that line. Good news of great joy for all people. What a sad stain on the history of the church, not just in America, but in so many places in the world, when we thought that the good news of God was just for our people, people who look like us. And the angel said, no. It's for all people. It's for everyone. And I know that this message must be important because God sent an angel. I think this is one of the reasons why, if you read the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, very closely, you read it in Matthew and you read it in Luke, you will see that the people to whom the angels came, they were just ordinary people like you and me. Elizabeth and Zachariah. Getting on in age, wanted to have a baby for so many years, couldn't have a baby. The angel came to Mary and Joseph, a carpenter, a poor young woman living in a town that nobody visits. It's not on Google Maps. You just don't know about that place. It's Nazareth. The angel went there. The Gentile astrologers. God has such a sense of humor that God would call Gentile astrologers from far away, maybe they were worshiping pagans, who knows? And God calls them, tells them to follow the star, and come tell Jewish people about their Messiah. Good news of great joy for all people. Second thing that surprised me, and I will go very quickly here, the second thing that surprised me when I read this was not only that God would come to shepherds, but that God would give the message to shepherds. The message was given to shepherds. They were the first messengers. This is a big God. This is a big message. And God gave it to the most insignificant people in that culture. And I thought about the world in which you and I live in. We live in a world filled with noise. There are billions of people around the world, billions of people around the world who are trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. The Pittsburgh artist, Andy Warhol, said that everybody wants to be famous. And what we now know, because of the culture in which we're now living in, if you want to be seen, if you want to be heard, if you want to get noticed, one of the things you have to do, you got to do something outrageous. Do something outrageous. Somebody with a cell phone will pick it up, they'll get it on the evening news, and voila, you go virus. Or viral. I caught myself. And here we have the most important message, the most important message in verses 11 and 12 that needs to go viral. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. It doesn't get any bigger than that. A Savior who is Messiah, who is Lord. And this is the most important message. And God says, it's okay, I'm going to give it to these lowly angels, these lowly shepherds, because I want them to be my messengers. You know the rest of the story. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. When I was reading this again last week, I thought about a similar thing happened on the back end of Jesus' life. Luke 24, they crucified him. They buried him, locked him in a grave. It's the Sabbath, so the women go home. They come back first thing Sunday morning, and they are prepared with their pounds of spices to embalm the body and to give final rites and burial to Jesus. The problem is when they get there, the grave's open, they look and the body is missing, and they're standing there perplexed, what's going on? The angel comes to them and says, he's not here, he's risen. I want you, women, again, in that culture, women had no standing. I want you to go and tell the disciples the most important news, Jesus is not dead, he's risen. And I thought, only God would do that. That God would take ordinary shepherds to be the first messengers of Jesus' birth. And that God would take three women who have no standing in that culture to be witnesses and to testify and to proclaim Jesus' resurrection. A big God with a big message would entrust that message to people like you and me. And I asked myself the question, why would God do that? And you might come up with a lot of different reasons, but the reason I came up with, I think the reason why God does that, it's embedded in that word twice that you see in the text, it's the word glory. When the angel appeared, glory surrounded the shepherds. And there was in the heavens a multitude, a gazillion of angels saying, glory to God. I think it has something to do with the word glory. Because if you went up to an angel, if you had the guts and you're not fainting and falling out on the ground, and you say to an angel, tell me your secret, what keeps you going? The angel would say, listen, we're not here, it's not about us. We're not here to glorify ourselves. We know what our lane is, and we're going to stay in our lane. And when God says go, we go. When God says stop, we stop. When God says say this, we say it. It's not about us. It's all for the glory of God. And I wish to God we were all angels, because I'll be the first to admit to you that I struggle. I struggle with that understanding that my life exists not for me. Because you see, from the day I was born, in my Jamaican home, we were being told, study hard, so that when you graduate, you can get a good job, so that when you get a good job, you can make money, so that when you make money, you can buy the biggest house. Do all these things so you can make your mark. And at the base of that, there isn't anything necessarily wrong with that, but it doesn't tell the whole story. What's missing out of that is, to what end? To what end? Westminster Catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. And I think the angels, they get that. So I think it has something to do with the word glory. That God didn't go to Caesar Augustus because he has his own glory. And he would have said, I don't want to hear about that. God didn't go to King Herod. And we know what happened when they went to Herod. God didn't go to the religious elites of the day because they think they're the center of the universe. God looks for people who understand that they exist, they're small, and they exist because of God. And so once the shepherds got the message, they said, you know what, we've got to go. And they left where they were, the shepherd's field, Beit Sahor, a little community just a few miles outside of Bethlehem. And they ran to the city of Bethlehem, the village of Bethlehem, found the cave, found Mary and Joseph, found the child lying in the manger. And once they confirmed it, the scriptures tell us that they made known, and I love that, they made known what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it, everyone who heard these lowly shepherds, were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And then I love this. It says that they returned, watch this now, they returned glorifying and praising God. Friends, this is how God works. Am I saying then that God doesn't use nuclear scientists? Am I saying that God doesn't use wealthy, wealthy people? Am I saying God doesn't use people who have many, many degrees? Am I somehow putting down accomplishments? That's not what I'm saying. I guess what I'm really trying to say, what I'm really trying to say is that we need to understand the way the kingdom of God works, that when the power that's in the kingdom of God is used to lift people up, the power that is embedded in the kingdom of God is used to restore and heal and strengthen. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what? To preach good news to the poor, to open eyes that are blind, to visit those who are in prison, to say to those who are in bondage, there is freedom. God gives us power. God gives us access. God gives us privilege as kingdom people so we can go out into the world and lift up and strengthen those who are weak and downcast. But so often what happens in our world is that power corrupts, and we use power to crush, we use power to destroy, we use power. You know, 2017 is going to be known as the year when the women stood up and said, me too. Don't you dare touch me. Don't you dare put your hand on me. Because there were men, there were institutions, there were people who used their power to degrade women. And that's not what it's like in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about lifting people up, and God is showing us how it works in his kingdom. It's okay to clap, not me, but him. That's what it's all about. I want to close by just having you take a look at this scripture so you understand what's in God's heart. And I'm only quoting what the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah. It's from Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. I love this passage. Notice the power of God. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is my resting place? Great passage to ponder. Verse 2, all these things my hand has made, and so all these things are mine, says the Lord. But this is the one. Friends, just let that just burn a place in your heart. This is the one to whom I look. This is the one to whom I look, to the humble and the contrite in spirit who trembles at my word. And so wherever you are in your life, if you have power, if you have access, that's not the important thing. Where is your heart? Are you humble? Are you contrite? Do you tremble at God's word? And I think the shepherds did that. And I think many of you in this place today, you tremble at God's word. And God is working powerfully through you. Before I close, I want to remind you that there are people on a day like today who will make an extra effort to come out to church. I'm so glad that you're here. There are people in our church who come often, and I'm so glad you're here. But I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this morning, because just like those lowly shepherds, we've heard the message too. We've heard it. We've heard it over and over. But some of us are so cool. Some of us are so reasoned in our thinking. We just say, oh, that's a children's story. That really doesn't relate to me. I'm objective. I'm rational. I work off logic. And so we distance ourselves from the story. I hope you don't do that today. And then there's some of us here this morning. You are so thoroughly Western and Americanized in your thinking that the message that I'm saying to you, that God sent Jesus into the world to save us, that sounds so weak, it sounds so needy, and you see yourself as so self-made, and I hope you don't do that either, because Jesus came with this message, yes, for the weak. You've got to say that you're weak. You've got to understand what it means to be a sinner. You've got to understand what it means to say my life isn't complete in myself, and to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I want to come and see this child. I want to make haste to go and see this child.